See everyone out
for
a great day in the house of the Lord. Already had a great Sunday school lesson. I know we got many prayer requests. We'll get that in a little bit. But remember that our Thanksgiving soup and salad supper is tonight at 5. Of course, you know, if the weather's permitting, we may could get into a volleyball game afterward. So we'll be thankful if it don't rain. We'll be thankful either way, and we'll have a good time of fellowship either way. So come at 5, and if you want to, you can prepare to play volleyball. We'll have a good time. I'd like to say I appreciate everyone cooking and providing the transportation for our meals Wednesday night. I think everything turned out good. Had plenty of food, had plenty of people there to help, so I appreciate that. It means a lot to our community. Remember our Christmas program? It's going to be kind of condensed this year, but from what it usually is, but December the 13th at 5 o'clock. And also, we're going to, we'll talk about it a little bit tonight down there when we'll see a time, but I thought we'd have like we've been doing on Sunday night, everyone could bring something from their house or something cheap or something from Kojak's, whatever you want to do, and before Christmas one Sunday night, we will play the takeaway game down there in our fellowship hall, and we know that will be fun. I think I still got something from Kojak's at home I could bring. And so you can bring something from home, just something, whatever you want to bring. Charlie's not here this morning. I think he brought a toilet seat the first year I was here. But it come from Kojak? So I don't know. But anyway, remember that. We'll announce that. We'll have a good time. Keep in mind also New Year's Eve game night. I'll be at Jonathan and Carrie Nate's at 6 o'clock. So be looking forward to those things. It's always exciting. Looking forward to this time of year. I know it's hard on a lot of people, and we've already had many prayer requests made this morning already. So ask the Lord to remember those. And do we have any other prayer requests that I don't know about? That. Have any others? I know there's families that's lost loved ones and hurting all around us, so I ask you to pray for those. And I know we're kind of past Thanksgiving season, but every day should be Thanksgiving for what the Lord has done for us. So this year, we say it every year, but let's truly don't lose sight of what this season is about Jesus. The best gift that could ever been given has been given freely to us, and how blessed we are. And I have done nothing but complain about 2020. I think we all have. We've all talked about it, and you look on your Facebook page, and everybody says if 2020 was this, if 2020 was that, and all this bad stuff, but you're still here, you're still breathing, you still got your family, you still got a house, still got food to eat. It hadn't been too bad. So we got to put things in perspective and understand that God has really blessed us. And I thank Him for everything He's done and what He's going to do. No other prayer requests. We'll have prayer, and then we'll get started with our service. Father, we thank You this morning for who You are, first of all, that You are in complete control of all areas of our life, of all areas of everything in the world, that You have not lost control. God, I ask You to heal these that's brokenhearted, heal the ones that has lost loved ones, heal the ones that are hurting, that are suffering from whatever condition may be. I ask You to be with Janelle and Kenny, Lord, as they need a touch. I ask You to be with the families that help take care of them, and there's many other families that are hurting, and I ask You to heal those. God, be with our service this morning. I ask You to have Your Spirit in our midst, and let us do nothing but glorify the name of Jesus in this place. And God, we may leave here today saying it's truly been good to be in the house of the Lord. And God, these blessings we do ask in Your Son's name. Amen.
Let's stand and join us in our call to worship.
With a grateful heart, give thanks.
Grace, how great a debtor, daily In this time of desperation, all we know is doubt and fear. There is only one foundation we believe. We believe in this broken generation, and all is dark, you help us see. There is only one salvation, we believe. We believe. We believe in God the Father. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in the Holy Spirit, and He's given us new life. We believe in the crucifixion. We believe that He conquered death. We believe in the resurrection, and He's coming back again. We believe. So let our faith be more than anthems, greater than the songs we weakness and temptations. We believe. We believe. We believe in God the Father. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in the Holy Spirit, and He's given us new life. We believe crucifixion. We believe that He conquered death. We believe in the resurrection, and He's coming back again. Let the lost be found, and the dead be raised in the here and now. Let love invade, let the church live loud. Our God will say, we believe, we believe, and the gates of hell will not prevail, for the power of God has torn the veil. Now we know Your love will never fail. We believe, we believe. We believe in God the Father. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in the Holy Spirit, and He's given us new life. We believe in the crucifixion. We believe that He conquered death. We believe in the resurrection, and He's coming back. He's coming back again. He's coming back again. We believe.
Pray for Eric. Pray hard. Appreciate them being with those kids. That's a blessing for them and for all of you, I know. This sermon today, I've been thinking about what to preach this week, of course, with Thanksgiving being, and it's not really going to be on Thanksgiving. It's going to be on, the title of it is It's Personal. I thought all week about when we think about the Word of God or we think about the things of God, we too often begin thinking of a whole scale of everybody, and it's true. Jesus did come to die for the whole world. The Bible says it's His desire that none should perish, but all come to the repentance that He has offered. But I think many times we forget it's talking about me. It's talking about you. And we tend to take it as, man, that's a good one. I wish they was here to hear that. But it's for you. Everything in this Word of God is personal. And in Romans chapter 14, verse 11 and 12 is where we're going to start this morning. Romans chapter 14. Now, if you study a little of this scripture here in this chapter, it's talking about those that are saved, that we will all stand at the judgment seat of Christ. Not all of us will stand at the great white throne judgment, but we will all stand at the judgment seat of Christ. So it's telling us not to judge our brother or neighbor, but we are so guilty of doing this, and we all have someone on our minds that I wish that, man, that they would get right with God, or I wish this one would get right with God, or I wish this group would get right, or we can keep saying this all the time, but reckon what would happen if I got right with God. Reckon what would happen if you got right with God. Reckon what would happen if each one of us lived a life according to how the Word of God says we are to live it. Then may I tell you, we would live in a different nation. We would live in a different community. We would live in a different city. And we all can look at one another and say, oh, brother so-and-so has got this he needs to fix. Well, what if you fixed your problem? Well, oh, so-and-so has this that is wrong with them, and they do this. Well, what if you fixed yours? You see, if we all fixed each one of our problems, then we would all have the problem fixed. And that's why we have the Word of God, to let us understand what we have been given and what is available to us. In Romans chapter number 14, verse 11 and 12, it says, for it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then, every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Father, we thank you today for this word. God, we ask you to use it, touch it in a mighty way. And Lord, I pray that each one of us would see a need to get ourselves where we should be with you. There's going to come a day when each one of us are going to have to stand before your Son Jesus and give an account of the things we've done, whether good or evil. Lord, I pray that you allow us to have a conscience that is clear, a heart that is clear, knowing that we have accepted him as our Savior, that we have lived as close as this word can say, and I think all of us here today would be guilty. And I ask you to bless us and help us this morning, for it's in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. I don't think there's one of us right now inside this building that would be ready to give an account before God. I don't think so. I think we all have things that we want to get right, that we want to get better, and we're just like we all the time are this time of year especially. The doctor will tell us we need to diet, and we'll say, well, we must wait till the first of the year. And I understand that, because there's a lot of good things. And if you're trying to cut carbs, then don't come tonight, because you're going to be in a mess. But listen, it's kind of the same thing we do with our spiritual lives. Well, I'll get things back on track then, or I'll get this right then, or I'll do this then. Well, none of us knows that we've got another day. We don't know if we've got another minute. We may stand before God today and give an account of what those things are. There's going to come a time, the Bible says of itself. And listen, God says, as I live, and just as sure as there is God, this is how sure that you're going to give an account for your actions. It says, as I live. And I tell you, does all of us today believe that he is alive? Amen. We're going to have Easter here in a little while, and we'll believe that he has rose from the dead, and that he is forevermore alive. And just as sure as he lives, is how sure that you're going to have to stand before an almighty God. And boy, it's scary today to think about it, because of you cannot measure up. You cannot even come close to what God has done. And listen, this thing is personal. It's not to the whole, it is to the whole world, but today it is personal. It is personal with you. I think, number one, that we need to understand that we have been forgiven. We have been forgiven. Forgiveness has been offered to all men through the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, I know the Bible teaches that man cannot come to God unless he is drawn, but I believe that at some point that every man is drawn to God, and at that time you have an opportunity to say yes to him, to let your heart be changed by the miracle of God. And listen, until we get into our heart that we have been forgiven, then we truly cannot be settled. Until we understand that that we have been forgiven. And have you ever thought about how great this is? Now, we all know that we do things wrong to our spouse or to our brothers and sisters physically or to our co-workers or to any of our friends. And there's times we have to apologize. And when we do that, we feel much better to go back in front of them. But if you understood that you were separated from an almighty God, you were separated. You could not be in the presence of God because of sin. The Bible says that we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It says that our sin has separated us from God, and that there is a price got to be paid for that sin, and the only price that can pay for sin is death. And we can either pay it with the death of ourselves, or we can pay it with the death of Jesus Christ, which was made a sacrifice for all men. So listen, every single one of us stands at the same place. We must be forgiven, and the forgiveness has been offered. But what about you? Have you received it? Have you received it? If you have received that forgiveness today, you ought to be a grateful person, because you have been pardoned from a sure death. Now, you could take anybody that's on death row in the Alabama prison system, and you could tell them today you are pardoned. You can go free, and my friend, that person would have a party. They would run out there skipping and jumping and hopping, and they would go tell everybody about what had been done. And my friend, today, if you have been forgiven of your sin by an almighty God, then the Bible says that you should be a joyful person. You should be one that is so happy. In Romans chapter 4, verse 7 and 8, listen to what it says about this. It says, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Are your sins forgiven today? Is everything you've ever done wrong, is it forgiven? You have to answer that. I have to answer mine. You have to answer yours. You see, the only forgiveness for that sin is the blood of Jesus Christ. And how do you get that? The Bible says that when God draws you to Himself, then you fall before Him and you cry out to Him and you say, God, I am a sinner and I need you as a Savior. That's basically how it goes. And listen, it is not even what you say. It is not even what you do. It is the faith that you put towards Jesus Christ, knowing that He is the only propitiation for your sin. That is what saves you. But today, I'm talking about, look in the mirror right now. I know you don't have a mirror in front of you, but spiritually speaking, look in that mirror and you don't got to let me know, but let God and yourself know, are you forgiven of your sins? If you are not, you need to be right here. And you don't have to be right here to be saved, but you call upon Him right where you are sitting, and you cry out to Him and ask Him to forgive you, because this is the only way that you will ever, ever enjoy heaven. What a blessing it is to be forgiven. If you know that you're forgiven without a shadow of a doubt, and this thing has been done for you personally, then personally you should be excited about this, because the Bible said, blessed is to the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Blessed is a man who has been forgiven and set right. Listen, church, today, if we are saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, we shouldn't look like we've lost our dog. We shouldn't look like we've lost our best friend. We shouldn't look like all these things. We should be a joyous person. We should be smiling from ear to ear. And we should be tickled to death because I have been set free. Does anybody ever listen to Mercy Me? What's the name of that song, When Grace Got Me? What he's meaning by it is when he understood grace. When he understood grace, he said no longer. He would sing where everybody could be heard in the back row. It said he was dance even when he couldn't dance, because he understood. He said it's like you got away with something, because you did get away with something. Every single one of us has got away off of death row. We deserve to be killed, but because of the blood of Jesus Christ, we have been set free. What about you? What about you? You should be blessed. You are blessed. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13. Listen to this. But now in Christ Jesus, you are sometimes who are afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Separated from God. But because of faith in Jesus Christ, you have been brought near to an almighty God. The God of all creation can once again interact with you and have a relationship with you because of Jesus Christ. Because you have been forgiven of those sins, you can now talk directly to God. You can call upon Him. He can act on your behalf. And you are a blessed person because you have been forgiven. And listen, don't think about this in a broad sense of the whole world today. You think about this on a personal level. This whole 66 books is for you. Jesus Christ come to die for you. God Almighty created this earth and heaven for you. God, He made a way for you to be right with Him. And listen, the sad thing is, even though that He knew before the foundation of the earth what choice you would make, He gives you a free will to make this decision for Him. And the sad part of look at it is, in being just as He is, if He wasn't holy, He didn't have to do this. But because He is holy and because He is just, He's also made a place for those who will not receive Him. And it's a place called hell. It's eternal damnation, the Bible calls it. It's eternal separation away from God. Just as personal as salvation is, hell is also just that personal. It is created for those who reject Jesus Christ. Because God made a way, the world today will say, well, that's loving God y'all talk about. Surely He wouldn't condemn man to this because of this sin. Listen, He has made a way for you, and if you go to hell, my friend, you go on your own accord. Have you been forgiven? Have you been forgiven? If you have, then the second point is you have been set free. When the Bible talks about being set free, it always speaks on the thinking of a slave. Of a slave. And you know what a slave does? A slave does exactly what the taskmaster or the owner tells him to do. Exactly what he tells him to do. But listen, once we are saved, when we have been set free by the blood of Jesus Christ, the Bible says we are free indeed. John chapter 8, verse 34 and 36. Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." Listen, a slave was a slave for his son would be a slave, their son would be a slave, and it would go on until they had been set free by the owner. They would be continuously slaves, the family would be. And my friend, listen, when you was a slave to sin, you were bound. You were held down. You was not free. We all talk about freedom in our nation. We want to be free. We want to enjoy our freedom. And then as us Christians, we have been set free, and we don't even realize it because it's not personal to us. You were a slave to sin. A slave to it. You done exactly the way you was a puppet. Satan pulled the strings, brother, and you followed. You had no choice because that was your God. That was your leader, was that sin. You was a slave to it. You did exactly what it told you to do. You know what a slave did in those days when the people had slaves? If they didn't do what they did, they was disciplined. And if they finally didn't do that, they was probably killed, I guess, or something like that. There was a bad consequence when they would not mind the master. And you was bound by this sin. Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord is given upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to the captives, and to open to the prison to them that are bound." Spiritually speaking, on your personal level, when you are saved, the prison bars have been opened. The chains have been loosed from your arms. They sang a song, "Chain Breaker." The bindings have been took loose. You're now free to go about and to enjoy life. And the Bible says that Jesus came to give life and to give it more abundantly. My friend, if you would take that personal, you would have a different outlook on life. If you would take it personal that you are set free and that God has made you free indeed, then you ought to be a shouting, you ought to be a running, you ought to be tickled to death today because you now are free. How many of you have ever hemmed up a wild animal? Besides your kids. You take you out a deer. I don't care what you do to a deer, or what you do to a tiger, or what you do to any of these things, they are wild animals. These people that think they have pet rattlesnakes and all that, hogwash, them things are key. Tigers one day will eat you. You put that wild thing in a cage, and you put it there, and you bind it up, and it does exactly what you tell it to do. But I promise you this, when you open that cage up and freedom is enjoyed, that animal will leave and probably will never return. If they do return, they won't go close to that cage because they are free. Personally speaking today, if you know Jesus Christ, you have been set free. The bars are gone. The chains are gone. You're now free to live life and to live it more abundantly. And the sad thing is most of us still live like we are bound. You know why? Because we're so attached to the sin. I'm speaking about myself and you too. We are so attached to the sin. When the children of Israel was freed from Egypt's bondage, you know the first thing they did when they got into the wilderness, they began complaining because back there in Egypt, which is a sign of sin, a symbol of sin in the Bible, they said, when we was there, at least we had food to eat, water to drink, And man, things were good back in Egypt. And the whole time they was in bondage. And man, you have been set free by Jesus. We're not careful. We turn around. We go right back to where we had been. And we are bound by the same thing. And personally speaking, we've been set free. It would be like a prisoner let go free with no bounds and turn themselves back into jail. That don't make any sense, does it? But we do it. We just cannot. Oh, why has sin got such a grip on us? Because it's fun. Because the Bible says it's fun. It says it's fun for a season. But the end of it is death. It's the death of us spiritually. It's the death of our marriages even. It can be the death of our witness. It can be the death of a bunch of things. But listen, one thing that for certain is sin will find you out. The Bible teaches that. It'll find you out. I promise you there's never been a sin committed that has not been found out. And never will be. You may think you're getting away with it. You may think you've gone away with it. You may think you're doing pretty good. How many of you remember a time when you done something wrong that mom and dad never knew about? One night I was drag racing in Tallapoosa, Georgia. Didn't know nobody around there, just me and whoever was with me. Mother and daddy, you ain't gonna never know. I got home, I'm talking about, I live 7 miles from Tallapoosa. I got home that night, and my daddy asked me who won. I don't know what you're talking about. Like my kids do. I didn't do it. He knew about it. And I had to explain it. Every time that I ever thought I was away with something, they would find out about it. And listen, they knew very little. But I'm dealing now with a God. I always have been, but now, as a grown-up and as a saved person, an understanding person, can understand a little bit of the Word of God, I am dealing with a much bigger force who knows the very intents of my heart. So why in the world do I return to sin when I have been set free? It's because I truly have not realized, personally, I have been set free. I've not grasped it. And you've not grasped it. You've not got a hold of what's been done for you because we do not take it personal. We take it literal. But this thing is personal today that you have been set free. No longer are you bound. And church member and friend, until you get that through your head, you will continue to be bound to a thing called sin. And it is your master, and you have to follow it. I've heard people say, and I've said it myself, I can do a little bit of this. I can do a little bit of this. Well, maybe you can, but you're different than about 99.9% of the world. I work around some people who've been addicted to drugs. And he told me, he said, the first time he ever tried meth, addicted. He said all this other stuff. He said he started out, of course, like most people do, smoking marijuana, addicted. He wanted to feel something better and something better. He's been fighting this thing for years, and most people do. And I've heard people who drink, and they talk about, well, I can do this a little bit. You know the number one cause today of the number one addiction still in our country and in most of the world is still alcoholism. And you know why it is? Because we think we can do just a little bit of it. And you know why the number one cause of divorce probably still is because of extramarital affairs? It's because we think we can do just a little bit of it. We can flirt a little bit and I can handle it. We can do this a little bit or look at this woman a little bit and I can be okay with it. And it ain't going to get a hold of me. Listen, friend, I promise you that all of us is available and all of us is acceptable unto sin. And if you deal with sin, it will kill you. You cannot control it. It is like a cancer that will overtake you. You cannot do just a little. You must understand you've been set free. Thirdly, your sins have been removed. Think about this personally now. Everything you have ever done or ever will do, if you are in Christ Jesus, they are completely gone. I'm talking about if you mention them to God, then you are bringing up something He knows nothing about because they are gone. Psalm 103 verse 12. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. That thing you done wrong, that you've asked forgiveness for when you were saved, gone. You cannot, the east and the west, in our minds we're about to get blown right here, The East and the West cannot ever, never, ever can they intersect. West goes on west forever and the East goes on east forever. It doesn't go round like the world does. It is completely opposite. They go one direction, they keep going, and they never, ever, never will intersect. That is how your transgressions have been with God. They have been removed. Think about this on a personal level now. Your sins, everything you've ever have, ever will do, is gone. It's completely gone. We don't know of anything that is ever completely gone, really. Scientists say that every word spoken, the sound waves are forever out there. They said if you could make a device to interact with it, it would be complete chaos, because there would be noises from centuries past still going out there. But our sins have been gone. They've been wiped away. They've been washed away. They've been completely annulled. It's just as you have never done it. That's what has been done for you personally. And listen, you can rest knowing that these, you see, what holds a lot of people back is they say, well, I know what I was in the past, and yes, I've cried out to Jesus for salvation, but I just cannot believe that he could forgive me for that, or that thing is truly gone. Honey, I'm here to tell you today, if you have cried out to him and asked him to forgive you of those sins and to remove them from you, then they are gone as far as the east is from the west, and God will remember them no more. They're gone. Many of us can't get that through our heads. So the guilt of them holds us forever. And because of what we did, holds us forever. And because of what we was guilty of, we never can let go of it. And it holds us down. And it destroys us. Your sins, number four, have been forgotten. Hebrews 8:12. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins, their iniquities, will I remember no more. I say this a lot, and y'all hear me say it. I think it's humanly impossible to forget every wrong that somebody's ever done to you unless it's your children. You will remember what so-and-so did to you in whatever year it was. You'll remember the day. You'll remember how they did it. You'll remember what they said. You'll remember how it hurt your feelings and how it destroyed you. And you may forgive them, but your mind can never, ever forget that. But you don't have the mind of God. God says, I will remember their iniquities no more. When God sees you, he sees a completely new creature. He sees someone that has been remade. He sees a brand new creation. The Bible says, oh, all things have been passed away. Behold, all things are made new. You are brand new. And it's time that we, as God's people, understand that God has forgotten our sins. And we need to come close to him and understand that we can draw near because that sin and all that has been forgotten. Don't let the guilt hold you any longer. It will destroy you. Make you think you're no good. We see in the Bible that there are people from all walks of life that he used. And that he was close to. Mary Magdalene. Have you ever read much about her? She was a prostitute. And Jesus completely forgave her. And Jesus sat in even the same place as her. And Jesus was around her. And she was there. She was ministering to him at the last time. And she was there for everything. And she wept and she understood something. Bless God, I believe that Mary understood that Jesus had forgotten all the things she had ever done. All the wrongs she had ever committed. And he had forgotten it. And no longer did he hold it to her account. And I believe she understood about being set free. Because he had forgotten. When he forgives, he forgets and knows nothing of your sin. We, however, cannot forget ourselves. Right now, as I'm saying this, you're thinking of something you've done. Surely God can't love me for that. Surely God can't love me because I did this. Surely God can't love me because I committed that thing. Or one of them Ten Commandments, I broke them. And we all have. Surely God can't use me. But surely God don't care about me because, boy, we put all kind of things in those blanks. May I tell you, if you've been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, that's exactly what they are, is they are blanks. He remembers them no more. They are gone. John 14:27. And I'm about to close it, and we're going to beat a bunch of people to the restaurant. I want you to get this in your heart today. And I want this to go with you throughout this Christmas season and throughout the rest of your life. If you could get a hold of this, Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you. Peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Church, if we could get a hold of that right there, we could rest knowing that we have peace and that we have been made right with an almighty God. This thing is personal. This thing is personal. I'll ask you some questions right before we close. Have you been forgiven? Have you been forgiven? I'm not talking about has the world been forgiven. Could your name be written down in God's word that you have been forgiven? You must answer that question. Have you been set free? Is there still something holding you back? Are you still bound because of something? Are you still bound to some sin you just cannot get away of? Jesus says, "I give you peace. Not as the world give you, but I give you true peace." He says in that scripture, "You come unto me, all you that are heavy laden, and take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy, and I will give you rest." You believe your sins have been removed. You no longer have to have a guilt. Whatever you've done is gone. You believe your sins are forgotten, that God remembers them no more. If every person, even how few we are this morning in this building, could get a hold of these personal scriptures and let it change us, this group right here would change the world if we could get a hold of that simple truth that we've been forgiven, that we've been set free. Remember what I said? You set an animal free, they'll stay away from whatever trapped them. We got a dog at home, a boxer. Most of y'all met him, Champ. He wags his tail about 200,000 times a minute. I can lock him in the basement when he's doing something wrong. You know what he's learned? That when I tell him get in the basement, he ain't going to do it. He knows it's entrapment. He'll stay away from that basement, and finally when he goes, he's cowered down. He's not wagging his tail, and he's not happy. Going back into confinement. He hates going in that place where he's not free. Today I'm asking you, get away from whatever's bound you. Call out to Jesus, ask him to set you free. It's not my words, but his. He said, "If I set you free, you're free indeed." Get away from that whatever's got you. Maybe you need help with it. I understand the scriptures and I understand faith, but I also understand being a human. There's times that we need help. Don't be afraid to ask for help. Don't be afraid to ask me. Don't be afraid to ask your spouse. Don't be afraid to ask your boss. Ask somebody for help. It's available. There's all kind of people been trained to help you with whatever problem that you don't think you can handle on your own. And it's not weak faith. People have told that lie for too many years. It's not weak faith. God has put that in people there for that reason. Actually, it's more faith to admit you need help. It is available. If everyone would please stand. Kind of a different sermon I usually preach, I guess. This thing this morning is personal. It's personal. Jesus died for you. Jesus loves you. He wants to forgive you. If he has forgiven you, he has set you free, and he remembers it no more. We ought to have an appreciation. We ought to have a gratitude to stay away from the things that entrap us and the things that hold us down. And I believe if we get a hold of these verses personal, it'll give us the power to do that. If we'll understand that that book was written to me, those scriptures were written for me, and that Jesus came for me. Jesus hung on a cross for me. I could put my name up there. And that he put in the scriptures that whatever I set free is free indeed for me. He said, I removed their iniquities. Yes, it says in that scripture for Israel. I am grafted into Israel because of my faith in Jesus Christ. He did that for me. He removed and forgot and done away with everything I've ever done wrong because it's personal. How about you this morning? You need to come pray. You come.